obfuscation. I thought, well, that's great. I don't even know what it means, God. So I found a bench in St. David's, got my phone out and looked it up. And it means to make obscure, to make things unclear, to make things unintelligible. And that's the way I felt as regards some things regarding God at the time. So the waters were muddied. Things weren't clear. I wasn't sure about God's will in certain things. And have you ever noticed when things go silent sometimes in your life, there's just a background noise of guilt, shame, fear, anxiety, confusion. You'll never make it. You better give up. You're just a waste of time. Why do you keep on praying? Why do you even bother going to church? Don't go to church this week. Don't read your Bible today. You've got better things to do. Don't bother praying today. God's not going to make it. And it's blah, 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 blah. Just all the time, that constant chatter in you. Does anyone else ever get that? Or is it just me going crazy? Yeah, a few people are honest enough to admit it, because I get it quite often. And I'm not going crazy. It's the wearing down of the saints where the enemy is just trying to just fill our heads with anything and everything apart from that identity of, I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. God is for me. He's my Father. He's the Lord. He's my shepherd. So how do we overcome this? How do we overcome all this of noise and mess in our heads? I tell you the way we often overcome it. Click the remote, veg out, box of chocolates, glass of something. Oh, let's watch 10 box sets this weekend of whatever their favourite TV show is. And that's our genius idea of overcoming temptation, guilt and shame and frustration and anxiety and all the temptations of the enemy. Let's go and watch 10 hours of TV that contains more temptations, anxiety, fear, guilt, and shame. Let's load ourselves up with more of that kind of stuff. Or it might be that we just watch a couple of hours of comedy, harmless stuff. But it doesn't stop Satan's attacks and strategies of the wearing down of the saints, because we're in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 tells us that our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. So we can't use flesh and blood things like the TV and going for a walk up the hill to get out of those things. They can switch it off. They can numb it for a time. But they don't help us successfully resist those things. So today, there's probably more than two. But I just want to share two things that God has dropped into my heart this year of the way we can fight against and overcome the wearing down of the saints. Let's have a look at the first one. The first one is simply this. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus, it's a famous verse, but I'm reading it from the Amplified Bible, which really unpacks the meaning, I think. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden and overburdened. That describes what we've been talking about, doesn't it? And maybe that describes us sometimes in our lives. We labour, we're heavy laden and overburdened. And I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Jesus said, come to me. And yet, it's not just that initial coming to Jesus that we often think, you know, come to Jesus and get your ticket to heaven. Come to Jesus and be forgiven. Come to Jesus and be adopted into God's family. But 1 Peter 2 verse 4, Peter talks about as you constantly draw near to him. It's a present tense. It's a continuous thing. 1 Peter 2 verse 4, of constantly coming to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, Jesus tells us to learn of what? Learn of him. So not just, he's not saying learn some laws and rules and regulations, because those are the things that burden us down. Jesus is saying, learn about me. Come to me. And when we come to Jesus, let's have a look at the next one. This is what Jesus promises we will find. It's just highlighted in the next one. Is it there? Yeah. That last passage. You will find rest. We're talking about the wearing down of the saints, that mental wearing down process. But Jesus says, if we're constantly coming to him, not just once to become a Christian, but daily, regularly, frequently coming to him, we will find rest. We will find ease. That's a taking off of the pressure. We'll find relief. We'll find refreshment. Just like the person who's walked to the top of the mountain and they're like, whew, oh, look at this. Some angelic being has brought me a glass of refreshing lemon with washing up. No, it's lemon and it's refreshing. It's nice. And I hope there's no poison in there. But it's refreshing to me. And Jesus promises, I love this one, that he'll give us recreation. Not a game of tennis or a quick couple of rounds of something on the Xbox. Recreation literally means mental encouragement. That's the original meaning of the word. You look it up in the dictionary, one of these dictionaries that points you back to the original meanings of words. Recreation does mean, you know, a bit of sport, a bit of fun, but it literally means mental encouragement and consolation. And this is what Jesus is offering us. He's offering us blessed quiet. So instead of all that constant there, that Satan gives us and the anxieties and the stress gives us, Jesus says, I'll give you some blessed quiet for your heart, for your mind, for your soul. So Jesus is saying, come to me. Constantly come to me. Frequently come to me. And Jesus will give us that. Does that sound good? Does that sound what we need? This is where the rubber hits the road then. How can we come to Jesus this week? I don't want to be irreverent here, but Jesus is in heaven. He's not, hey, come on, let's go and, you know, grab some time. Let's come on, go to Starbucks. Come on, let's go. And if I wanted to with Chris, not seeing you for ages, not seeing you for a few weeks, let's go and grab a coffee somewhere and sit. I can't do that with Jesus. So how can we come to Jesus this week? Can anyone tell me? Because it's nice to talk about this. Oh, I come to Jesus and I'll get that. Go on, Glynis. The Holy Spirit living in us, yeah. And I'm going to come to that in a bit. So hold that thought. Somebody was here was saying prayer. So we come to Jesus in prayer, wherever we are, whenever we are. We can just come to Jesus and say, Jesus, like we were singing a few, I don't know, a while ago, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. We just come to him, wherever we are, on the bus, right in the thick of all the humdrum of life. We can just shoot up a prayer to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you right now. How else can we come to Jesus? In the Word, yeah. You sit down, and this is the honest truth. This is the fact for each one of us. I've got to watch where I sit now because I don't want to sit in my lemon squash because it'd be a very awkward place. And I turn around and, ah, look at him, he's wet himself. But there we go, won't do that. This is the honest truth. When we get our Bibles and we open it, you're not just reading a book. You're not just reading a book by some Chinese guy who's been dead a couple of thousand years called Sun Tzu. You're not reading a book by, I don't know, Karen McDougall's John Grisham. You're not reading a book by someone called John Grisham or a best-selling author. You're reading a book that's written by God. And when you open it, the author's right there. And every morning, when I sit there in a dining room at home and I open this, this is Jesus speaking to me. It's Jesus speaking to you. It's not just reading a book. Because if we look upon our daily quiet time, our devotions or whatever you call it, as just reading your Bible, it will just be reading a book. But it's not just reading a book, because God says in Hebrews, and it's said in one of the Psalms, today, if you hear his voice. And the thing about the Bible is the stuff written in the Bible, God says, the Holy Spirit says, this is God speaking to us through this. So what we need to do is when we open our Bibles, we need to realize, as it were, say for me, I'm at the dining room table having my quiet time of a morning, and I'm sitting there in one of the on one of the dining room chairs with my Bible open, and I put it like this, that Jesus is across the table with me or sitting next to me with his arm around me, and he's reading it to me and he's speaking it to me right now, because this is God's word. Whenever I hear it, if it stays on the shelf or just on your phone, that's all it is. But the moment you start to read it, it's God's word activated and speaking to you. And it is just as if Jesus was there in person speaking those very words to you tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, on the bus, on the train, wherever you are. And we need to get that into our heads. If we just read it as a book, we'll read it and we'll tuck it away. But when we open it, we just read it and we think, wow, this is Jesus speaking to me. This is Jesus' word to me today. So we don't have to think, oh God, I need to go to church and get someone to prophesy over me, or go to the big meeting to get someone to speak this into my life. If you want to hear from God, open this book, pray and say, God, I need you. Speak to me. And just keep on reading and keep on reading, and God will speak to you. How else can we come to Jesus? Prayer, the word of God. How else? Worship. Bible says, Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And we worship him and we just begin to say, Jesus, I think you're great. Jesus, you've forgiven me. I'm a child of God. And we can download some music onto our phone or watch. It's so easy nowadays to get hold of some good quality worship music that you don't even have to pay for. I'm not talking about illegal stuff. You just go onto YouTube. Go onto Hillsong's Bethel Music or whatever rings your bell, Rin Collective or George Beverly Shea if you're into that. Whatever it might. But just get into some music and join in. And we worship Jesus. And you can do it together or do it on your own. When I'm in the car on my own, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, Kate, but I'm a better singer than you. I don't care what I sound like, but I'm just giving it all I've got. I only dare do it in the car because nobody else can hear me there or something. But it's just great to. I was gonna say to let rip, but you might get the wrong impression, but there you go. But you're in the car and you can just open up your heart to God and sing. So we can worship Jesus. We can pray in his word. How else can we meet with Jesus, draw near to him? Any other ways? Go on. Yeah? Showing Jesus his love to others, yeah? Another way? We're all doing it right now. Come to church. Get to life group. Because when we come together, if all we have is a few dozen people meeting together from Bryn Mawr and the surrounding area on a Sunday morning to sing a few happy songs. And God help us. If all we've got is this to change the area. But the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Jesus is in our midst. The book of Revelation, you see Jesus, and he's in his church. He's with his church. Where two or three gather together in my name, I'm there in the midst, Jesus says. So when we come together here, when we come together as life groups, we're drawing to Jesus and we can experience those things. So come to Jesus expectantly. I've seen this so many times in my Christian life that I've met Christians who haven't been in church for a few weeks, and I'm probably going to tread on some toes now, but you know, God will heal them. But and they don't come to church for a few weeks, and you ask them, not seen you in church recently. Oh, I'm going through a bad patch. Oh, it's hard, really difficult at the moment. Going through a really hard patch, and maybe somebody said something, they've got offended, or they're been tempted, they've sinned, they've not maybe read their Bible for 2 years, you know, they've not maybe lived the way they think they should live, and they're beating themselves up. So the best thing they think they can do is stay at home and not meet with the rest of their Christian family and not go to life group, and I'll get back when I'm right with God again. You know, it's like me saying, I'm not going to eat any food until I'm feeling stronger again. You know, you're not going to feel stronger unless you have a right diet. And you're not going to feel stronger as a Christian unless you're drawing near to Jesus on a regular basis. And one of the ways we do that is by meeting together as family. And the devil would love to whisper in our ears and say, ah, don't go to church this week. You messed things up this past week. Don't go. And then next week comes, ah, wouldn't go this week. Nobody missed you last week. Stuart texted you to ask you how you are. I bet he hasn't. And even if he did, he only did it because Sarah gave him a nudge. And we hear things like that in our head. And we think, no, I'm not going to go this week. And then we come back 2 months later and we're sort of sneaking through the door and we plonk ourselves down. But God doesn't want us to be like that. We're all going to mess up this week. But Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary, heavy laden, burdened, beaten up. Keep on coming to me. So that's the one key. We're to overcome the wearing down of the enemy. Keep on coming to Jesus. Prayer, worship, the word, gathering together. And then the second one is to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's have a look at the next passage, please. 1 Corinthians 14:21. Paul talking about speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit. I mentioned this in a sermon previously. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues, through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Paul's there, he's talking about speaking in tongues, you know, when people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak in another language to God. Paul there is talking about speaking in tongues. And he says, in the law it is written. He's pointing back to the Old Testament. So what I want us to do, please, David, is have a look at where Paul is quoting from in the Old Testament. Let's have a look at it. Isaiah 28, 11 to 12. And this is on about, immediate context is Israel being taken into captivity in Assyria, where the people will hear the Assyrian language and not understand what's going on. Immediate context. But Paul says it's got a higher context regarding speaking in tongues when we're filled with the Spirit. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, but you would not hear. So basically, if you want to go and search some commentaries out and everything later, do so. Trust me on this one, though. That's about speaking in tongues. And when we're speaking in tongues, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it brings us rest. It brings us refreshing. So remember, we're talking about Satan's tactic of causing the saints to be wearied. And yet the Bible says that speaking in tongues is refreshing and rest. If it was just one passage that said that, you know, wouldn't build too much of it. But we're going to have a look at a couple of other verses. I don't think they're in the Bible. Yeah, that'd be one of those for the little apocrypha of books. Yeah, the Gospel of Judas or something. No, they're in the Bible. Then that's on the screen. Tickled you as well, that one. Jude 20. You, dear friend, is it on the screen? Let's have a look. Is it there? No. Yeah, there they are. They're on the screen, they're in the Bible, there we go. But you, dear friends, building yourself up in the most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways we do that is by speaking in tongues, and it builds us up. Next one, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies, builds himself up. Like this microphone here. Some of them have rechargeable batteries, so you put the battery on charge. You edify the battery. You build the battery up. You put some power back in that battery. And Paul says, if you speak in a tongue, you build yourself up. So we've looked at the verse from Isaiah, where it talks about speaking in tongues brings refreshment and rest. We look at the one in Jude where it talks about it builds us up in our most holy faith. We look at what Paul said in Corinthians 14, that you edify yourself. You put yourself on recharge. You get yourself built up. And I don't know about everyone else here, but when I read stuff like that, I think, I want to know this reality in my life. I want to know what it is, not just to stand in a meeting and because we're singing my favourite song to feel the goosebumps go down the back of my neck, but I want to know what it is when I'm going through it, when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm feeling fearful, when I'm feeling I've got the blah, 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 blah of the enemy all the time and I'm just dragged down. I want to know that refreshment, that rest, that building myself up in the most holy faith. I want to know what it is to be speaking in tongues more than I do on a regular basis. I talked about being in the car on my own earlier and singing, and that's one of the great places I can do and sing in tongues at the top of my voice. Most of my journey here from Risca this morning, from down below to here this morning, I was speaking in tongues most of the journey. Because, God, I just want to know you more. Someone called John G. Lake, who was a healing evangelist, mightily used in South Africa and America from about 1910 to 1920s, 30s, he said this. He said, I want to talk with the utmost frankness and say that tongues has been the making of my ministry. A man who moved mightily in the Holy Spirit, and he said speaking in tongues was the making of his ministry. The Apostle Paul, who wrote lots of letters in the Bible, planted loads of churches, passionate for Jesus. He said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, he wrote to the church at Corinth and said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. So if we went round and started with each person in the church at Corinth and say, okay, Justus, how much time have you spent speaking in tongues this week? Oh, 5 minutes. And what about you, Benedictus? How long have you spent speaking in tongues? And Paul said, well, I've spoken in tongues more than all of you. It was such a valuable part of Paul's life. Not just some guy called John G. Lake who lived 100 years ago, but the Apostle Paul. He said to the church at Corinth, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Speaking in tongues. I'm not on about in a meeting where somebody speaks in a foreign language and somebody then interprets it. This is our own private devotional language to speak to God when we've been filled with the Holy Spirit and we know the power of the Holy Spirit in the life, in our lives. We don't need goosebumps. We don't need any, yes, I've got it now. We can do it when we've got the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. It's not one of these, oh, yes, I remember back in 2012, I went to the meeting with Heidi Baker, or went to the meeting with, you know, Catalyst meeting or something, and somebody prayed for me, and I spoke in tongues for 5 minutes. I couldn't care less this past week how many times you've spoken in tongues, how much of the fullness of the Holy Spirit you've felt. The burning question is, are we filled with the Holy Spirit now, today? As Christians, we're not to be like Boy Scouts who've, yep, I've got my badge there for, you know, lighting fires. I've got my badge for tying knots. I've got my badge for dib-dib-dubbing and dib-dib-dabbing or whatever. And I've got my badge for, you know, building a tent. And we got our badge, yes. I became a Christian back in 19, whatever. And I was baptized in water. And I came to this church then, and I knew the Holy Spirit moving in my life back in 2015. God's question is, what about today? Let's have a look at the next passage, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, wild living, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking, addressing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, be filled with the Spirit, which literally means to be constantly filled with the Spirit. We're not like glasses, you know, where I drink it and it gets emptied. We don't leak as Christians. We don't leak the Holy Spirit, so we have to come back to church for a top-up every week. That's not what Paul says when he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. What he means, it's like a boat when the wind fills its sails, because the word Spirit is breath. In Greek and in Hebrew, can mean breath. It's like when a boat gets its sails filled and it was just sitting there on the water and the wind comes along and fills its sails, and now it's going somewhere. It's heading somewhere. And Paul means that. He says, let the wind of your Holy Spirit fill your life, give it some direction, give it some motivation, give it some movement, and then you'll start going somewhere in God. And you'll start to be singing about a lot more. You'll start to be giving thanks to God a lot more. You'll find yourself, when you're having your own devotions at home, making up songs as you're just worshiping Jesus. I found that sometimes when I just start off my quiet time, as the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, they're not songs we're going to sing at church. They're not songs anybody's going to watch on YouTube, apart from maybe having a good laugh at. But it's Phil Gibson in the dining room, at home, worshipping the Lord. And all of a sudden, God will give me a little bit of poetry in my heart. Something, as it says there, a bit of melody in my heart. And a little bit of four-line poetry will just start to flow, and I make it up to God there and then, or I'll sing it to God there and then, because it's been filled with the Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I can see some people nodding, saying, yeah, that's my experience. But God wants us to have that experience more and more and more and more, because as we're filled with the Spirit, as we're singing, as we're making melody, as we're giving thanks to God for the stuff that's going in our lives, as we're speaking in tongues, that weariness, that mental exhaustion, that is getting replaced now. And it's like I've been plugged into the mains for 20 minutes now. And yeah, I've got some wind in my sails to give me some direction through this day now, because I've made my connection with God and I know God's presence in my life in a deeper way. In Acts chapter 2, verse 11, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the people who were like watching said, "We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And that's what happens when we're speaking in tongues by ourselves to God. We're telling God how great he is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is, how good Jesus is, what Jesus has done for us. And we can't come away from that feeling, "I'm so deflated still. I'm so beat," because we begin to magnify God. We might not understand it up here with our heads. And the devil will tell us, "You've wasted 20 minutes there. You've wasted 5 minutes." But in our hearts, we're grasping something. In our hearts, we're touching something of the power of God. The resources of God are available to each one of us as Christians by his grace. This isn't for the super spiritual ones. This isn't for the ones who spend 2 hours reading their Bible every day and 5 hours watching the God Channel and then 15 hours a day going out giving food for the poor and then the other 45 hours of the day going out and doing that, because we're so spiritual. We cram 3 days' work of mercy and grace and love into our waking hours. This is for people like us. For people like the Christians at Corinth and in Ephesus, some of whom were slaves, many of whom were poor, there were people like us who knew the enemy to come against them, trying to wear them down mentally, but they knew what it was to come to Jesus regularly, to come to Jesus every day. When was it? For various reasons in the Gibson household, it's been a tough few weeks. You know, Joshua being rushed into hospital with appendicitis, then I went in for a little operation, just a hernia, nothing major, but you know, painful. You women don't know what us men have to go through, but it was still painful. I think it's like a few degrees up from a C-section, they said, this hernia operation, but... You know, and then Joshua falling down the stairs from head to foot. And it's just been, you know, I'm not saying it's been particularly bad in the Gibson household, but probably pretty routine when you've got a house with a teenage boy and just life happening. But it's just felt tough. And a couple of Sunday mornings ago, I had to preach at a church on the Sunday morning. And the Saturday, well, actually the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, were lousy days. And, you know, I said to Lynn on the Saturday, "I just wish I could get out of preaching tomorrow because I just feel bleh." I go to bed and I wake up the Sunday morning. And you know those times where you're sort of, you know, sort of semi-conscious and you're just getting your thoughts together, you know. You might stay like that for about 3 hours, I don't know. But just as I was lying in bed and my thoughts were coming together, and some of you might know this one, an old worship song from donkeys years ago just came, just the one line of it went through my head. "The flow of Holy Ghost anointed worship and praise brings release, brings release." Does anyone know that song? "The Lord inhabits the praises of his people." Am I showing myself really old? Yeah. Anyhow, there was this song, "The Lord inhabits the praises of his people." And the one line of it was, "The flow of Holy Ghost anointed worship and praise brings release." And this was just going through my head as I woke up that Sunday morning after having a lousy few days. I thought, okay, come on then. So I went downstairs, opened my Bible. I'm not going to read anything yet. Oh God, let there be just a flow of Holy Ghost anointed worship and praise. God, you're good, you're faithful. And singing, you know, just thinking stuff like the things we've been singing this morning. You know, "You're faithful to me. You never let me down. No matter how hard things are, you're still there." And then I just started speaking in tongues and worshipping Jesus. And after about 15, 20 minutes, I'm thinking, yeah, I feel good. You know, I won't do it. But, you know, that's the way I felt. I just came away thinking, yeah. Because as the Bible says, not an old 1970s chorus, that flow of Holy Spirit anointed worship and praise does bring release. We build ourselves up. We edify ourselves. There's a flow of thanksgiving and praise. Sun Tzu said, if we're to be successful in our battles, we need to know ourselves and we need to know our enemies. We need to know our enemy. And one of his strategies, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, is accusations, rubbing our nose in the dirt. Another one is just mentally wearing us down with the blah, 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 constant drivel. He's yakking in our ears. But that's the enemy. But to know ourselves as people who are not just forgiven and on our way to heaven, but people who can know what it is to come to Jesus and to sit at his feet wherever we are. And I don't mean literally sitting at his feet. You can do it, and that's a great thing, with a Bible on your phone or something. You can, anywhere, you can read it. But you can just open God's word. I'm listening to Jesus now. Jesus is talking to me. Wow, this is great. We can come to him in prayer. We can come to him in worship. We can meet together as the people of God. And we can be filled and keep on being filled with the wind of the Spirit, filling the sails of our life, giving us some direction and motivation, and know what it is to sing, make melody, give thanks, to speak in tongues, and to build ourselves up. So even though we come into the situation feeling, ugh, we walk out thinking, yeah, God has put some power, some refreshment, some vitality back into my life. Can I encourage you this week to press into this? Whatever your experience is in these things this morning up till this point, I can assure each one of us there's more. That your relationship with Jesus, your daily drawing close to him, can be so much more meaningful and so much more relevant than it ever has been right up to now, because he's God and he's wonderful and he's infinite and he's with us as we talk to him. And whatever experience you've had of the Holy Spirit up until this point, there's more, because he's God. And he's wonderful, and he's infinite, and he wants to flow through each one of us and give us strength to overcome the battles and the struggles each one of us face in our heads on an hourly basis. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We know our enemy, Satan. We need to know ourselves. And the resources God has given us in Jesus and the Holy Spirit.